A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Sanhedrin Chav Tes, Sanhedrin 29a, pagination is 57. We'll start from the Mishnah, which is about 10 lines into the wide lines. The Mishnah states, Ketzad Bodkin Es Ha'edim. How did they check the witnesses? We have a concept, Apishnaim Edim Yakum Davar, based on the words of two witnesses, things can be established. That's talking about cases where we do not have knowledge about something. It's not a case of Anan Sahadi, we know this for sure. It's a case where we don't know, and we're going to verify the facts based on the witnesses. So that requires cross-examination. We need to know what it is that they're claiming they saw, and we might ask them different questions that would verify that. They would bring them into the room, and they would cause fear to them. They would make them appreciate the ramifications of their testimony, and that it has to be honest and accurate. I recall I once met a mashgiach when I did an audit, and I asked him what kind of training he got for the position that he held as a mashgiach in a restaurant. And he told me that there wasn't much training. They handed him a bunch of manuals and told him to read them, which he did or didn't. But basically the training was that they sat him down and they instilled the fear of God in him. They told him that this is very serious. He's being a mashgiach for the community in this restaurant. So it needs a little bit more than just instilling the fear of God. But that's ma'aymin aleihem. You make them afraid. U'motzien es kol ha'adam l'chutz. They take everybody else, they send everybody else out of the room. U'mishayrin es ha'gadol shebehen. They leave the greater of the two witnesses. Ve'omrim lo, and they say to him, Emor heyach ato yodeya sheze chayev lozeh. How do you know that this one owes the other one money? How do you know the testimony that you're saying? And the Gemara, and the Mishnah gives a fascinating example of how it could be that the person is convinced that he came to Beis Din for a good purpose, and he's way off base. Im Omar, let's say he would say, "Hu Omar li she'ani chayev lo." The man himself told me that he's obligated in this money. It sounds like foolproof. It sounds like a perfect verification. But in reality, that is not testimony, as Rashi explains. The Ovid Inish the Omar, people sometimes say, Peloni no shebi. So this person is owed money from me. So that people shouldn't think that he's a wealthy person. He's trying to lower the perception of his assets. And he says, even though I own this, but I owe money, I have debts. And the fact that he said he has debts doesn't really mean he has debts. Whether it's correct for him to have done that or not is irrelevant, but it's not going to result in a valid testimony in Beis Din. Ish Peloni Omar li shehu chayev lo. A person told me it's facts known on the street that he owes the money. Lo Omar klum. That's not testimony. At sheyomar, until he says bifaneinu hoda lo shehu chayev lo masayim zuz. Until he says that this person admitted in front of us as witnesses that he owes the money, because then it's understood that the reason he stood two witnesses and he stated this obligation in front of them was that they should be able to serve as witnesses to verify the fact, in which case he was saying it with intent to be quoted. And then we bring in the second person, and you check his testimony. The Mishnah is telling us it's not just ditto marks, like he say, that's what I say. But gemoso, you check, you listen to his story, and as we've mentioned many times, that's the power of two witnesses, because the court is meant to be experts in the way humans perceive things and relate things, and the story of the two of them is supposed to be different to the extent that two human beings relate the same event differently, but should be clear that they're relating what happened on the same event. If everything checks out, then nosim v'nosnim b'davar, then the Beis Din accepts the testimony, and now they enter the phase of debate to discuss whether indeed this testimony will carry the day, what are the claims, what are the counterclaims. Good. The Mishnah continues, moving in to an effort to make a psak din, to actually rule on the case. Shnayim omrim zakai ve'echad omer chayiv. If two of the judges say innocent, doesn't have to pay, and one of them says chayiv, he's obligated to pay, so zakai, he's going to be exonerated. He's considered innocent. Shnayim omrim chayiv ve'echad omer zakai. If two say obligated and one say innocent, chayiv, he's going to be obligated, because Acharei Rabim Lahatos, we follow the majority rule in such a court case. Echad Omer Chayev ve'Echad Omer Zakai. If one says innocent, one says obligated, one says innocent. Afilu Shnayim Mezakim or Shnayim Mechayvin. Even if two of them say innocent and two of them say obligated, so that you would theoretically have the majority of a court of three. But it wasn't set up as a court of two. It was set up as a court of three. Ve'echad omer eino yodea, and one of them is saying, I don't know. So you can't judge the case based on two, even if he would argue with them, he would be outvoted. But you don't have a panel of three giving the judgment. And this is a fascinating concept, that even the dissenting voice is part of the court, and therefore it's a court of three that issued the ruling. So if he says eini yodea, yosifu hadayonim, you have to add judges until you can reach a proper judgment. Gomru es hadavar, when they finally finish and reach their conclusion, hayomachnisim osan, they would bring them back into the room. Hagadol shebedayonim omer, and the leader of the judges says, Ish peloni ata zakai, ish peloni ata chayiv. So-and-so is innocent, so-and-so is obligated, and that is the ruling of Beis Din that will be binding. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.